You know, on Thursday, we had a sister, a guest, come to church, and she kind of half preached and half sang and half accompanied herself with the accordion and half sold some CDs, and it was just amazing to see. It was awesome. But she also used this little analogy that I liked and I stole, and I'm going to use tonight. She said, if you come to church Sunday morning, you love the pastor. So you want the pastor to see you. You want him to know that you showed up to church. If you show up to church both Sunday morning and Sunday night, then you love the church. You just like church. You like, you know, the programs, the music, the preaching, all that stuff. If you show up to church both Sunday morning and Sunday evening and during the week, then you love God. So us over here, we've reached the loving church stage. So I hope to see you guys on Tuesday or Wednesday when we have the guests. Amen? So it's not, you know, I was thinking about this, and it's not just, it doesn't matter just if we come to church. And it doesn't even matter how often we come to church. What matters is how we come to church, how I come to church, how and where my heart is and where your heart is. And having said that, I want to do a little confession. I'm used to church. I'm used to church. I've been doing this. I'm 34 years old. I've been doing this all my life. I was born in a pastor's house. From the moment, you know, mom could take me out of the house, we've been going to church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, during the week. Been going to orchestra practice, band practice, worship practice. I basically, there's still room, yeah. When? I've been going to church my whole life. I've seen it all. We had church in our house. You know, when we weren't having church at church, we had church in our house. I've seen people being healed. I've heard sermons being preached. I've sang at the top of my lungs with Flavio and without. I've seen it all. I've experienced it all. And the reality is, and the sad reality is that I've come to a point where oftentimes this is the mentality that I come to church with, that I'm used to church. I'm used to church. I know what's gonna happen. I know the way the program's gonna unfold. I know that we're gonna sing a couple songs. In fact, Dad, you know, and Jason, I'm not writing you out, but we were back there waiting to come and play. And as you were reciting the program, what's coming next, Jason was reciting with you, you know, half a second before you. He's like, it's gonna be band, then it's gonna be choir, then it's gonna be, and that's how we are. We're so used to it, we know what's gonna happen. And what happens is that we begin to come and show up over here without expecting God to move, without expecting to see the power of God, without expecting to see God working in the church and in our lives, in my life. I'm just like, I know I've been there. I've been through the highs. I've been through the lows. And I know what's going to happen. And so the theme of my message tonight, and the title even, and Emil's gonna love me because he always asks me for titles and I never have titles for my messages, but the title of this message is, don't just come with expectation. Because I run over verses like this one, which is gonna be the verse for the night if you guys wanna turn in your Bibles. It's Psalm 27, verse 4, where it says, I've asked one thing from the Lord. This is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. And I read something like this and it tears at my heart because I'm like, man, that is not how I came to church today. And then I read other passages more well-known, like Psalm 122, verse 1, which says, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Basically, the psalmist is saying, my friend said, hey, let's go to church. And I was jumping for joy when they said that. And I'm more like, give me 15 more minutes to sleep. Or Psalm 92, which says, the righteous thrive like a palm tree and grow like a cedar tree in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they thrive in the courts of God. And I asked myself, thrive by being in the courts of God? Do I thrive? Do I grow by being in the house of the Lord? Do I come expecting to meet with him, to be touched by him, for God to speak to me, for God to work in me? Or do I show up expecting nothing, just to go through the routine that I've seen and been through time and time again? It matters how we show up to church, brothers and sisters. And the thing is, why is it bad to show up to church without expectation? Why is it bad? I mean, even though we could spend all day talking about the many, many reasons, I'm just going to highlight a couple. And the first thing, when I was thinking on this passage, if I show up to church without expecting God to work, it points to a lack of faith on my part, and it points to a lack of faith on your part. The sad reality is that if I come not expecting God, not with this expectation that God is going to work, it basically says that I have doubt. Like, I don't really know, or I don't really trust that God will work. I've heard it preached, I've heard it said, I sang about it, but I don't really think that God is going to heal that sick person. Like, deep down inside me, I have doubt. I don't have faith. I don't really think that God is going to work in my life when I bring that prayer before God. There's that seed or that kernel of doubt in me. By me showing up to church and not expecting the power of God to work, by not expecting God to do the miraculous, it points to my own lack of faith. And it brings me to this passage in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, where it says, "And Jesus did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief," because they didn't have faith, because the people in his own home village didn't have faith. It says that he wasn't able to do a lot of miracles there. He couldn't. My lack of faith and our lack of faith negates the power of God. What a sad statement that is, right? And that's the thing. If I come to church, if I show up to church not expecting, without that expectation, without that anticipation of seeing and experiencing the power of God, and if you show up without that anticipation, and if you show up without that expectation, we create this little soup of doubt and lack of faith that God cannot work in. And that's why we see a lot of times what we see. It's because of the way that I come to church. It's because of the way that you show up. But not only that, God in his grace and God in his power, God in his mercy, many times does work despite me and despite you and despite us. He does work, but the thing is, if I don't come without expectation, I will miss out as God begins to work in those hearts that are tuned to him. Because if I don't come with the expectation of God working, then my heart and my mind isn't tuned to the frequency of the Holy Spirit, isn't tuned to the frequency that God speaks in. And when he does, I'll be so clouded with my own, you know, busyness and what have you, that I will miss when God speaks to me, or when God works in the church, or when God is ready to heal, and God will pass me by. And there are many other dangers, and there are many other negatives of why it's a bad idea to not come to church with expectation, to just show up like we so often do. But let me get back to this passage, verse 4 in chapter 27, and see what the psalmist says about how we need to approach the house of God, how we need to address or approach coming to the house of God. First thing that he says is, "I have asked." So the first thing that we need to do is to ask God. So if you find yourself in this situation, if you're saying, "Man, that is kind of how I showed up today. I had my lunch, you know, I had my Sunday lunch, I had my Sunday nap, and then I woke up and I'm like, oh, whoa, I have to get to church. I wasn't even thinking about it. I wasn't really thinking of God. I just knew that this is my routine on Sunday afternoons. I have to show up to church." If you find yourself in this situation, the first thing that you have to do is to be honest with God and just tell him, "Lord, this is who I am. This is where I find myself. This is how I came to church this Sunday and the Sunday before that and the Sunday before that. In fact, it's been a pattern in my life for a long time now that I think about it. I don't show up to church anticipating that you will do amazing, miraculous things. Lord, help me. I don't want to come like this. I don't want to show up this way. Lord, work in me, transform me, change me, move my heart, whatever you have to do, Lord. Change me. I'm coming to you, Father." That's the first thing. He says, "I have asked for one thing from the Lord. This is what I desire." The second thing is that we have to ask him for desire. Now, Notice I didn't say we have to ask God for strength or for discipline or for just whatever. These are all good things. These are all things that will help. But the psalmist says, this is what I desire. And I want to encourage you guys to ask God for desire, for passion, for a hunger for his house. Like a deep, like your stomach is, like, you know, like I wake up, okay, sometimes I forget to eat. I'll wake up and I'll go, depending on how busy I am, I'll go through the whole day without even thinking about food. But on the days when I fast, I wake up with my stomach rumbling already. Like, it's just always, like, it's already, I'm like, ooh, and it's already making noises, you know? I don't know how that works. But imagine that you haven't eaten for like a week straight and you're passing by In-N-Out and they're just grilling one of those double doubles and like your stomach is, and you're salivating and you're all you're thinking about is, man, I just want to bite into that hot, juicy burger. That kind of desire, that kind of like hunger to have, not for a burger, but for the house of God, not for food that, you know, we eat and passes away, but for food that is eternal, the word of God, the bread of life. So we need to ask God to be honest with him, and we need to ask him for desire. And the third thing that he says, this is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord. So the third thing that we need to do is to make church our home. Not to visit church, but to look at it as our home. And I remember the first time I had to work in a hospital to do my first 12-hour shift, and starting at 6 in the morning, which meant, you know, waking up at 4:30, and I go, you know, you drive forever, and then you do your 12-hour shift, and then you drive forever back home because everybody's going back home. And I remember I got home, and I sat on the couch. I didn't even sit at the table to eat dinner. I sat on the couch, and Mom gave me my plate of food, and I ate, and I fell asleep right there. It must have been like 7:30 or something like that. Just exhausted. But do you guys know when you come home after like a long day at work and you just kind of plop down on the couch and you're like, right? Like, it's so good to be home. Or you go on vacation even and you're away from home for weeks or days and you like it, you enjoy it, but you can't wait to get home, to your bed, to your things. Like, this is where you feel like you belong. And that's what we need to make, that's what we need to do with church. That's what God calls us to do with church. Not to make the church that we go work at, not to make the church the place that we go visit, not to make the church the place that we go vacation at, but for church to be our home. And when, and as much as we're away from it, to feel like there is something wrong, like I need to get home. I'm like nuam stare, you know, like I need to get back to my home. I need to get back to the things that I know that make me feel comfortable. And church is that place. The house of God is that place. The people of God are that place. I need to make church my home. The fourth thing he says is, this is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. So the fourth thing is, we need to make church a church our lifestyle. So Lord, make this a lifestyle for me, not a program that I sign up for. I don't want to turn church into a place where I come to when I need to get married, or where I need to get, when I need to get baptized, or when I need to do a baby dedication, or Lord forbid, bury a loved one. And I just need a pastor, so I'm gonna use the church as long as it serves my needs, but after I don't need the church anymore, then I'll forget all about it. Lord, it's not about attending, it's not about using, it's about making your house, making your courts a lifestyle. This is what my life revolves around. And fifth, he says, that when we are at church, when we do come to church, when we do come to the house of God, he says, so I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord. When we're here, we need to see the Lord. Lord, my prayer is that when we're here, open our eyes so that we see you, Lord. Open our eyes so that we don't see the song, or we don't see the person that's preaching. We don't see the things that are going on around you, but open our eyes, Lord, that we see you, Jesus, We want to see you, Lord. And to be honest, you're not always going to like what happens at church. It's not always going to tickle your fancy. Coco, I don't always like the songs that you pick. I don't always preach the best sermons. That's just the fact. But man, if you guys came to this place and you walk away with, like, if all you walk away with is having seen me, then I pity you guys. Because Jesus is in this place. If all you see is a couple songs, I pity you guys because Jesus is in this place. If all we say is the program was nice, I pity us because the living God, the creator of heaven and earth, is in this place. And I pray that he opens our eyes for us to see him when we're here. And the last thing that he says is that we need to seek him. He says that we're gazing on his beauty and seeking him in his temple. So in conclusion, it's not enough to show up. It's not enough to just be present. It's not enough to be spectators in the house of God. He says that we need, when we come to this place, we need to seek him. And Lord, make us understand that we need to seek you. That we need to work, that we need to battle if necessary, that we need to do whatever it takes for us to seek you and to find you, Lord. That is why we come to this place, not to sit and to see what will happen. We come here to do battle on our knees, Lord. We will not leave any stone unturned. We will not leave anything undone for us to meet with you. That is our desire. That is what we want to do. When we come to this place, we want to meet with you, God, not with a pastor. Not with the pastor, not with the worship leader, not with our friends. We want to meet with you, Lord. And if that means battling in prayer, that's what we will do. If it means singing at the top of our lungs in worship, that's what we will do. But we will not leave this place like Jacob did. He battled all night long until he received the blessing of the Lord. And that's what we need to do. So I want this to be a prayer for us. And I'm speaking this because I found myself in this situation. I found myself in this place. And I think that many of us do find ourselves in this place at different points in our lives. So if you are here, I encourage you guys to ask God. Go to God. Ask that God gives you a desire for his house. Ask God that he teaches you to make this place your home, not a place that you visit, like you visit your work or friends or something. Make church your lifestyle. When you're here, see the Lord. And if you come to this place and something seems off or things seem dry, then do not leave this place. Get on your knees, battle, work until you seek and until you find the Lord, because he is here. He is here. He is in this place, and he wants to meet with us. He wants to work in us. He wants to do amazing things. He wants to do the miraculous. But it all depends on how we come here. It all depends on how I show up. Do I have faith? Do I come with expectation? Do we come anticipating that God will work? And that's what I pray for us tonight. Amen.